Hi, this is comedian Mary Santora, and you're listening to The Default Setting with Jess Falstick and Elizabeth Seaman. Enjoy. Welcome to The Default Setting.
We find out what makes you tick because we have amazing ways of making you talk. I am your co-host, Elizabeth Seaman, and my guest and co-host for this show, the lovely Jess Falstick.
That's me!
It is you! Way to identify yourself.
I love the way we just did that. I'm so glad.
Yeah, you started going like, no.
No, this is mine!
Hey!
This is fucking mine. We decided to do a me fault setting for our season finale. This is our season 3 finale.
So Jess, tell the listeners at home, they've been dying to know for 2 seasons, what is your default setting?
So my default setting is loud.
We couldn't tell! No, what?
I know!
We're blowing out everybody's head.
I know, well... It's so funny, when Pete Milk used to do our editing, like, I felt so bad, because he was sitting back there with, like, headphones on.
I mean, you would adjust the levels beforehand. Well, now we just go whole ham, we're like, what can this software do on auto?
And, like, I know he's, like, a sound guy by nature, so he's probably already has tinnitus, but I worry, like, the vast majority of it just came from me being like, and then I said to the guy, and then I would just start screaming, laughing. Smithers is running in right now, by the way. She's like, what?
Oh, Smeef, what's going on? Well, you're clearly in distress.
Yeah, that's what it is. She's like, what is mom screaming about? How do I fix it? How do I save it?
Okay, so are you like the SNL guy where you have a disease where you can't control the volume of your voice? Or what makes you say that being loud is your default setting?
What is that from? Remind me, like, what?
It's SNL.
Is it? I could have sworn there was like, I have this condition where I can't control this item. Is it SNL? Okay, sorry.
Yeah.
I thought that was from
imagine how embarrassing it is when you're like a preteen boy in class trying to tell your buddy, like, sound like that. I want to say it was Will Ferrell.
Oh my god. No, but I feel like there's like a Family Guy or Austin Powers or something too where it's like, when I get nervous I have trouble controlling the sound of my voice.
Could be. I can't say that I know them all.
But I will say, I have been loud for as long as I can physically remember things. My parents tell me that I was a very, very quiet baby/toddler.
Well, maybe they used to put you in, like, a Tupperware with holes so they couldn't hear.
Well, maybe you're
like a lightning bug and you started kind of loud and then they thought you were loud.
Well, it's funny because... a lightning bug. It's funny because, like, the story I always hear is that I was, like, the angel child, and my brother was, like, the demon child.
Wait,
which we definitely...
are you the older one?
Yes.
Okay, see, because with me and my brother, it was the same thing, except he's the older one, and he was good, and I was the devil one, because I had colic. So he lured them into a false sense of security, thinking that, like, oh, babies are fine, they're so chill. And then I came along, and, like, if I would have been first, I probably would have been an only child.
Oh, really?
Yeah. It wasn't my fault. I had colic.
I was going to say, were you colicky? That was what I was going to ask. Yeah, because that was my brother. He was colicky. And it's funny, too, because they were like, they always tell me, they're like, you were planned. He was an accident. I'm like, well, he probably knew, and he was super pissed off about it.
You heard you talking about it. And he's like,
yeah, and I was like, oh, I was your... I was like, James, I was like, oh, it's your miracle baby that you wanted and tried so hard for.
Everybody wanted me. Everybody loves me. I'm not annoying at all. Yes.
Well, that was it. I think that probably contributed to it, too, though, because, like, you know, I got told all the time, like, I was this cute, wonderful, quiet, perfect little kid, which made me, like, ooze, sort of like, oh, look at me, then. Look at me. I'm being awesome. I'm being, like...
You think it would do, like, the opposite, because you're like, oh, yay, attention. But also, shh.
No, I was definitely not encouraged to be quiet. It's weird. I think having a weird, horrible sort of elementary through high school experience leveled that off quite a bit because I got, like, bullied a lot and I just didn't have a ton of friends. But it was weird, too, because I look back and, like, pictures of me, too, like, junior and senior year, and there are definitely pictures of me, like, you know, like, being really obnoxious and, like, gesturing and, like, you know.
Like a theater kid, huh?
Right! And so, like, I definitely had still, like, that integral part of me that was loud and sort of showy. But there's this element of me now that sort of existed probably since, you know, like I said, elementary school that holds back. Like, I'm not usually initially loud.
Like, would be louder.
Right.
Given you took the whole lid off.
It's unfathomable if I were louder. Like, I probably...
So, okay, so you keep saying, like loud and louder. So what do you do? What, like, in reference to what? Like, how you compare yourself to other people? Or they're like, you just had enough events of people telling you to, like, shh?
Yes.
You think that you're like, oh, shit, I am obnoxious.
Oh, my God, that one. Okay, so the first memory I have of really actually registering me being loud, and this is so strange, and it... Probably, I probably wasn't that young, but my dad did all these crazy jobs. Like, he was an electrician, but then he also went into environmental health and safety. And so he'd always get these weird gadgets and doodads to, like, test various things. And he had, for some reason, like, a noise. It was like a, I don't know if there's, like, a term for, like, an audio meter that shows, like, how many decibels something is. So I'm not even kidding.
Oh, what is that called?
There's
so many creative people who are into music and that we've had on so many episodes.
I know that would know the answer to this. They're probably screaming it at the if they're listening right now. So he brought one home, and I think because it was me and my parents knew me, they were like, Jess, take this outside and scream in it and see what happens. And I don't remember like what the like gauges or parameters were, but like it was decibels, but I don't remember like what's considered loud and what's considered like, you know, normal. But I remember my dad, like, he handed it to me to like take it outside so that I could like scream into it.
Mm-hmm.
And I
freak
was talking
out the neighbors, go on.
Yeah. I have a story about that too. So I took it outside and I'm talking to him, or I think I was just talking to him and maybe he was holding it. And I'm talking like this. Mm-hmm. And he's not even holding it to my mouth. Mm-hmm. And his face he's just looking at it and looking at me. And I'm like, what? And he's like, you're just talking. And this thing is at like, it was like an astronomical level. He's like, I'm afraid you're going to break it if you take it outside and scream into it.
Wouldn't they notice you were talking that loud? If they put it right in front of their mouths, wouldn't it also go up?
I just remember them laughing hysterically because I hadn't even started screaming yet, and it was already, like, going off the charts, like, as far... Because it was, like, a digital read, too. Yeah. It wasn't one of those needles. It was, like, a digital read, and it said, like, how many decibels it was. And I just remember my dad just being like, oh, my God. Like, I don't understand.
I think our child has a superpower.
Well, and... If you meet my parents, especially my dad...
I've met your mom. I have not met your dad.
They are loud as fuck. They are loud people.
Oh, okay. So
what it is, it's funny. My mom is
hereditary loudness.
Oh, yeah. Well, so my mom, what's funny about my mom is she's you know, animated and lively, but mm-hmm. she's mostly even keel, so she's not normally as loud, like, as I am consistently. My dad has had a hearing problem since, like, I was 10. So he's just always been naturally like he just doesn't, he has
was
no
it like
sense
the work
of,
or something?
Yeah, because like I think he's worked at.
He was out in the field with a stick just listening to loud shit.
Yeah, I mean, that's it. Like he's always worked on like, you know, machinery, like, you know, when it comes to like mowing. Like my dad, you know, grew up on my grandfather's land and he had 20 acres of land that he would cut the grass on and run chainsaws and, you know,
like take forever.
Work on cars and all that shit.
99% Invisible is doing a whole thing on, like, public health and, like, noise pollution.
Yeah.
Did you hear that?
Mm-mm.
I just listened to it the other day.
That's
like,
me,
slowly,
noise
it makes
pollution.
People go crazy.
That's, yeah,
we
I
all
probably
get
caused
hearing problems.
I probably caused a lot of tinnitus.
Just you, specifically.
Just me. I've contributed to tinnitus.
Oh,
you're a cruel mistress.
Oh, I'm so sorry. Yeah, I know how bad that hurts.
Meh.
You're ringing.
We're doing Archer for anybody who wants to go back and watch
it. It was going to be a special treat for the cool kids on the back of the room. No, I haven't seen. Did the new Archer come out yet?
I don't think so. I've been rewatching all the old episodes. Yeah. Like seasons 1 through 4 before it got weird.
Yeah. Before they had to drop the name ISIS and.
Yeah,
which other stuff. I mean, I can't blame them. Like they had to get rid of it.
It's funny because at the time they dropped it, I think they actually decided to drop it before ISIS was really a thing. And then, since then, they obviously couldn't bring it back.
Yeah.
But it's funny now because I'll watch the old episodes and they'll talk about ISIS. And now it's just so integrated or like programmed in my brain. I'm like, oh, fuck, they worked for ISIS. Oh, right. That was something different back then.
You're like, oh, Jesus, this show is darker than I. Oh, never mind.
Oh, right.
Oh, it's just the Alzheimer's now. Okay, it's the Alzheimer's. Okay, so hereditary loudness.
Yes.
So your dad's had a hearing problem since you were 10, and your mom's just a rambunctious lady.
Yeah. Yeah, they're just both naturally loud people. And my mom does shush my dad, like, a lot.
Well, okay,
well,
all fairness, he has a medical condition that makes his, like, reasonable. And maybe... Do you think you're loud because you're trying to talk over your parents? Like a
That's
family
a great
thing.
Question.
You're just like, no, I'm talking. Like it's a competition.
That's a great question because I literally was talking to my therapist today about the fact that I was telling her about this. I was telling her about the podcast and I was telling her about how you and I work so well together because I worry a lot about talking over people and then feeling too shy to like, keep talking or talk over me. Like I feel like I just very instinctively talk over people, interrupt people, just start shouting until they'll listen.
Oh, it's a modern day podcast.
And well, and like you're that doesn't intimidate you, which is why this works really well. And I think that's why I feel really awkward around guests who are just like, ah, fuck, this lady is yelling at me and I don't know. Like it freaks me out. And it makes me feel really bad. But I told her, I was like, I don't know why I do that. I don't know why. Like, my instinct is just keep talking louder and louder and louder and louder until everyone stops talking and listening. That's just, it's not me being aggressive. It's just, listen to me! And I think you're right. Like, I think it does come from a lot of, like, in my family, if you don't just start
you're never going to get a word in.
Right.
You got to fight for your right to say anything.
Well, and what's funny is we were talking earlier about siblings and having a lot. Like, I have one, and he doesn't say anything. Like, he says
okay, so
no
he
words.
Took the whole thing in the opposite direction.
He
You're
did.
Like, no, it's a competition. He's like, fuck this noise, like, literally. Just,
but can you even imagine, like, if I had a big fan? Like, I probably, like, I don't know. I don't know what would happen, but it was obviously bred into me that, like, you have to just fight and claw and elbow your way into conversations. And
I think you're good. I mean, like, I think, like, on the podcast when we, everyone talks over each other, that just happens a lot, especially when everyone's getting, like, real animated or something, or we're all, like, agreeing, or, you know, everyone wants to make a point. But that happens, like, everywhere in a normal conversation. And I think another thing is we have the delay coming, you know, like,
yes.
We're not in the same room. So, like, the delay makes everyone, like, oh, so there's, like, a little, like, you know, like, you hear a pause, and then you're like, oh, okay, well, now I can go, oh, no, yeah, it's like a bunch of dumbasses at stop signs, and no one knows who, like, who
goes first.
Oh,
my God, that's such a good metaphor.
And someone's trying to be polite, but you're like, no, because if I go, and you can hit me, and I'm going to break the law, and it's your thing, and like, you know.
Did you ever see Portlandia? And
oh,
there's
yeah.
Like a, yeah. Like, no, you go. No, you go. No, you go. No, you go. No, you go.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. I don't have a lot of, like, friends who watch that, but my youngest sister does, and so something will happen. I'll be like, hey, yo, River! And she's, like, the only one who's what I'm fucking talking about.
It's funny, I've watched every season except the last, I think, and I've only watched it once, so I want to go back and rewatch a bunch of them, because I remember certain, like, things, like, really stick with me, like the intersection thing, but there are other things where, like, if I watched it again, I'd be like, oh, shit, I forgot about that.
Right, I love when Jeff Goldblum is on. I just love, like, Jeff Goldblum in, like, anything, but, like, weird characters that they make him on there, like, the guy who works in the knot store, like, it's like, they sell, like, weird, like, artisanal knots, like, rope and headphones and, like, different glass stands.
Have you ever been to Portland?
I have not.
what amazes me about that show is that it really, a lot of it, yes, a lot of, I mean, it's so, you would think in so many ways it would be like an inside joke to just people in Portland, but yeah. They somehow managed to make it universally funny enough that it doesn't really matter if you know that that's really how things are in Portland or not.
Well, I feel like in general, the nation understands, like, Portland's for weird hippies. So, when all they're doing is making, like, weird hippie stuff, they're like, yeah, sounds about right. Like, they can get so ridiculous and, you know. Anyone, you know, from, New York or Texas or in the middle of nowhere, they're just like, yeah, that checks out. I've ever heard.
Well, it's just funny because one of my good friends lives there, so I've been there, like, a half a dozen times at this point, and it's just funny because it's, like, there's nothing in it that's really exaggerated for the most part. Like, it's very much like, nope, yep, that's what it is. Oh, that's exactly.
I want to try the Pacific Northwest. I have a feeling I'd like it.
Yeah.
I enjoy jacket weather immensely.
And I'm, you love it here right now.
It's pale.
It's not getting out of the low 60s here, I don't think, ever again.
Oh, wow. We went to, like, 80 today, and I went out to, it was, like, humid as fuck.
That's what I was complaining to Jesse. I was like, I don't think it's ever going to get warm, like, to where I can just wear a swimsuit or not wear a coat. And she was like, well, if it makes you feel better, like, I'm sweating to death. And I was like, I kind of miss that. Like, I mean, you miss it when you don't have
the
it.
Variety.
Yeah, like, I mean, that's it. Like, that's the price. I think I tweeted, the price you pay for consistent temperatures is consistent temperatures, which is great in the wintertime. But, like, now it's summer. It should be, like, 70, 80. Like, that's what it should be. And it won't break, like, 63. And the 10-day is, like, 63, 63, 63, 63.
I mean, it's weather just Groundhog's Day. You just start going crazy.
It is. Yeah, that's such a good way to put it. Because it does. You really long. It actually stormed this afternoon, which normally I would love. Yeah. Except I was driving back from my therapist appointment, which meant it took an hour and a half to get from Santa Monica to LAX.
Yeah, because everyone
which
sucks.
That should take 15 minutes. And yeah, everyone here fucking cannot drive in the rain to save their goddamn lives. So, so this is another thing about me. Like, I get very easily excited, and I get very much on rants, and then that tends to escalate the volume to a level.
Oh, yeah, you're talking about something that you like talking about.
I like talking. I think that's the key for me, is I really enjoy speaking.
The sound of your voice.
I enjoy the sound of my voice. I actually don't. When I listen to the podcast, I don't hate the sound of my voice, but there are definitely times where it's like, Jesus, this is what I sound like. My God.
I think in general, I can hear it when I'm talking now, like, because I got, like, the headphones on. I'm like, God, I'm so much more, like, nasal. Do I have an allergy problem? I'm not so nasally. I have, like, permanent allergies.
It's so crazy how your head acoustics are that you in your head when you hear yourself talk maybe don't sound dramatically different, but
it's different enough where you're like, weird,
more than negligibly different. Like, it's enough where you can recognize the sound of your own voice, but then you still listen and you're like, really, that's what I got going? Okay.
I don't hate it, but I know I do things that I do hate. It's like, and then it's silly, like, on the podcast, so it probably has happened sometimes, I laugh and then I do, like, a weird, like, squeak. Like,
really?
I'm laughing, it's like a little squeak wheeze, and it's not like I'm out of breath. I don't know. It's just
now,
like,
I'm doing it just because you made me
weird. Like, oh man,
yeah.
What the fuck was that?
Well, and what I hate too, like, when people point out when you do things, because then you notice it. And I'm actually glad for this. Like, when I did stand up, people would always point out that I would say like a lot. Mm-hmm. And so now I've been trying to be more cognizant of not saying but now when I listen to the podcast every week, and especially when I'm editing, so I have to listen to it like two or three times, I just catch it, like, it's all I hear after a while. It's just me going, and then it gets to a degree where I'm like, ah! Like, I just go in and I start editing out all the ums because it's so obnoxious.
Sometimes everybody does it. People can make fun of women. People can make fun of girls. Whatever. Everybody says the word like a bunch.
Oh, yeah.
And I get self-conscious about it sometimes. I just start thinking, how many fucking times did I say like? And I know I'm going to just keep doing it. But then I hear other people doing it and it's not so bad.
Right.
And you hear dudes doing it too. So I don't know why. Or maybe it's in my head. I just everyone goes like, oh, Meowly Girl, like. But it's one of those things that, like, once you think about it, then it's all you can hear.
Right. Well, and that's it. Like, the first episode I did, that was what I noticed I was doing like crazy. But then, I think it was with Tabitha. Everyone's like, Tabitha said like a lot. And I was like, yeah, but so did I. And they were like, no, she said it even more. And I was like, I didn't even notice because all I heard was me just going like the whole time.
It's just, it's like a, I don't know, everybody fucking does it.
You know what's weird is you often hear people cite that and other assorted things like vocal fry and upspeak and all that.
Well, yeah.
But they say it in a way that almost seems like, back in my day, we didn't have this shit and we knew how to talk. And it's usually some like fucking 45-year-old or 50-year-old. I'm like, I'm sorry. Language could not have dramatically changed that much. Yeah. And even if it did, I mean, it's true. Language evolves really quickly. I was just literally thinking about this the other day. All the time, I think about the idea that we got here, what, 250 years ago with British accents? And we don't have them anymore.
Though I've read an article that says that the American accent currently is closer to what the English accent used to be. So, like,
that's
we
bananas.
Were almost, like, in a state of arrested development here, and then they evolved more.
But see, that's still to say that somebody, whether it's us or them, had their accent change quite a bit in just 250 years, right?
Right. That's true.
So, and when you think about the grand scheme of, like, human evolution, 250 years is nothing. And that is kind of crazy to think about.
It's definitely a lot for language, for sure.
I mean, when you think about, like, language, when you think about language changing, when you think about everything else that evolves so as slow as it does, language evolves very quickly. Like, when you consider, you know.
Oh, yeah, like the trend words that go in and out every year.
Yeah.
And all that.
Well, that's what makes it hard acting to, you have to act, like, a friend of mine wrote a scene where we were performing and we decided to set it in, like, the 1940s. Mm-hmm. And you have to start to be really cognizant of, like, what's, the things you say become anachronistic. Like, the way we're talking right now, that's not how people talked in the 1940s, right? So you
have to put on that, like, what is that, transatlantic accent.
Yeah. And that's it. Like, and that was just, I mean, my father was born in the 40s. So when you think about the fact that, like, you can't talk the same way that people talked even, like,
yeah,
around
like
the time your
parents
were born.
Talked, yeah.
Right. And, like, so I just, how any of that happens is just so bizarre to me. But like I said, it's such a weird concept of, you know, people say like too much and people do this too much. And
I hate that people say like, and people, like the vocal fry, because they always just talk about it in reference to women. And I'm like, oh, yeah. Yes, let's think of another way to police something that they just do.
I remember people used to criticize the upspeak, too, where, like, you know, you say things and you end it like this, and it sounds like a question.
Sentence. Yeah.
And I do it a lot, but people were almost talking about it as if it were, like, a poor speaking habit or something.
Yeah.
And then I've been watching Helen Mirren's masterclass on acting, and she was saying that that's something Australians have, you know, always done for as long as there's been.
Oh, so you're secretly Australian. You've been holding out on me.
And what she said was that, I found this fascinating, for the purposes of performing Shakespeare, I guess, like, that's how it's supposed to be done, is you're supposed to lift up your voice when you end a sentence.
I believe everything Helen Mirren says, so
me
I'm
too.
Fucking sold.
I'm hung on every word she says.
Whatever you want, lady.
It's funny, someone was telling me that, I think it was one of my one of my instructors was telling me he started to watch the Helen Mirren masterclass and thought it was too pretentious. But, like, the first two or three lessons, she just kind of talks about how she was in the Royal Shakespeare Company. And I think she's just trying to establish, you know,
give some context. I mean, because maybe most people know her from her, like, film, you know, like, Hollywood movies. They don't know, like, where she's coming from.
You want to establish credibility, right? Like, you want to establish, like, yeah, I'm Helen Mirren, you probably know who I am, but also, like, here's why I'm an authority on, you know, talking about this shit for the next 30 hours or whatever.
Yeah.
So, she was, you know, talking about her experiences in the theater, and he was like, oh god, it was so pretentious, I couldn't get through it. But the more I watch it, it's like, no, like, I identify with her so fucking much. Like, she's like, I mean, it's funny, she'll just be sitting there talking, and all of a sudden she'll just be like, oh, fuck this, and then she'll be like, oh, I'm sorry, I'm not supposed to swear. Like, it's just so, like, I mean, because she does, she has this air of, like, Dame Helen Mirren, but then at the same time, she's the just people's cool dame. And chill, and, you know, like, I don't know, that, and she's never had kids either, and, like, she's just kind of like, shit, man, like, that's what I want to aspire to be right there, is just the person who can still have this incredibly full, amazing life, and still be full of life at her age, which I assume is, like, 70-something. Yeah. She looks amazing for her age. Oh, hell yeah. And she's just literally who I aspire to be. So
I mean, there are way worse role models, to be sure.
Yeah, she's amazing. She's
fucking. Here's another point when it comes to being loud. I've noticed in my travels, because we have both been to Asia and Europe, and people say, especially Americans in particular, are very loud people. Is that one of the times whilst you were traveling that you really noticed your loudness?
So what's so, really,
let's hit some examples up.
So what's so funny about that you say that is the first time I went to Europe, it was after I'd been dating my Episcopalian ex-husband for a really long time. And Episcopalians are two things, notorious into alcohol. Mm-hmm. And I wouldn't say alcoholics, but yeah. And then the other thing is that they are, that's effectively where WASP comes from, White Anglo-Saxon Protestants.
Okay.
So the thing about WASPs that are notorious is they're very reserved, right? Yeah. Like Episcopal
sticks
is the
bums.
It's the American version. It's the American version of the Anglican Church, which was started in England, and English people are generally just staunch and reserved, and they don't have expression, and that's what makes them such brilliant actors, and that's a whole other road
they're
to go
stoic
down.
People.
Yeah, they're very stoic people, and they actually, they take great amusement with Americans and the Irish and the Scottish because of how, like, just...
well, we're all compensating for them.
Fucking, like, yeah, I mean, we're so, like, everything, we're so extreme.
We're like, give us something to work with!
Yeah, we're extra as fuck, and then the British find that hilarious, but because, like, the Protestant, you know, religion, the Anglicans and the Episcopalians are based heavily in sort of this, you know, upper crusty sort of reserved nature, mm-hmm. He bred out of me very quickly, at least for the time we were together, a lot of my loudness, because he would just constantly be like, like shushing me, constantly talking about how loud I was
oh
being,
my
constantly
God.
Pointing out how
I
loud
would
I was
be
being.
So irritated.
Oh, and
I get shushed too, and whatever. Sometimes I think they're being like dramatic. I'm like, I think you're the one who's being too much. But if it was all the time, I would go to jail because I'd cut up.
Well, what I think it's a reflection of too is their own self-consciousness.
Yeah,
it's their own self-
I think
and
that's
when,
what it is.
When they're worried about the attention being drawn to them. Yeah,
they're projecting on you.
Being loud, then they feel weird by association.
Well, because, like, I have a friend, she's fucking loud sometimes. Like, she's seriously sometimes, like, the guy who can't control the volume of his voice. And I fucking love her. And I would never, ever, ever tell her to shush. Like, would not do it. I'd be like, that's her.
That's how she do.
Yeah, well, you do you, girl. You're fucking hilarious. Keep doing it.
So, by the time we went, we'd been dating 3 years, and I think we'd planned the trip for, like, 9 months. We were going to Barcelona and Paris, mostly. And the whole time he was like, please don't be loud. Like, people over there.
Oh, my God.
People over there. And I was in my early 20s. Again, ex-husband, for a reason.
Yeah.
But he was just like, you know, please be aware of your volume because they already think Americans are loud and you're very loud. And so literally, I distinctly remember going and being in, like, the Louvre and Musée d'Orsay and just, like, talking like this and just, like, and that's how I was the entire time we were in Europe, was just making
PTSD
sure
from this
that, well, and I think there was definitely a period where I had conditioned myself much more just to be very conscious of being quieter and not being as loud just because, like I said, you know, I was met with looks of derision from his family if I were in a room and I'd be like, wah, 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 you know?
Well, I mean, and, like, I think putting it out there for, like, a side or two. But, you know, like, being self-aware is, like, one thing. But projecting onto people is something else. Like, I think you made a really good point. It's like other people being self-conscious.
Yeah.
And then they're just like, but also fuck you.
That's that is a recreational hazard of being associated with me, is that if you don't want attention, I'm really sorry, but you're probably gonna get it, because I am constantly drawing attention. And if you're just
never
like
been a problem
near me, that's generally going to cause some form of attention. So that's probably why ultimately most of my friends aren't inherently that introverted or shy, because people who don't like a lot of attention or just kind of want to keep to themselves, they don't. It's just
you guys never became that close.
Yeah, it's just too much. It's too much for them, and I get that. I am a lot. I always liken myself to like a tornado of just like, it was funny, like when I had blue hair, I'm just like this blue haired tornado that just comes like flying into your life.
Tasmanian devil.
Yeah, literally, yeah. Like just literally Tasmanian devil just whirling into your life. I think there's actually a video of me. There was a Tosh.0 episode where they did this, it was like a challenge and they called it Office Tornado. And like they would just go into each other's offices with their arms outstretched and like turning around, and then they would just start knocking people's shit like off their desks. So he did like a challenge. He was like, send me a video of you doing Office Tornado. So I went in. So like I told my friend, I was like, here's my phone, here's the camera, I'm going into our coworker's office unbeknownst to him, and I just walk in and all of a sudden I'm like, Office Tornado, I'll send you the link later, and I'm just going around in a circle just knocking, like, oh, I knocked a plant off his desk, I knocked like stacks of papers. No, the whole time he's sitting there laughing his ass off. Like, he's just laughing, like he thought it was the funniest thing.
Did you make it on Tosh.0?
No, I was so sad. I mean, what's funny is I think I either hashtagged it or I submitted it or something happened, but it was like the first real video I'd ever put on YouTube, and it got like in the first week like 1,500 views, which for me was like a lot. I was like, oh, holy shit, that's actually quite a few views. It got like a bunch of thumbs down. I'm like, what else do you want from me? Like, I'm a cute person doing knocking shit off.
See, that's why I don't like things on the internet.
I turn the comments. I turn the comments off on all my videos because I don't feel like dealing with.
Yeah, I don't even. I don't want to make a Facebook status. I'm like, it's being too vulnerable out there.
I don't want your feedback, people. Yeah, I just want
unless
you
I'm
to adore
just
me.
Just do it every once in a while, and it's something that, like, if you don't like, then you're the dick. Then whatever. Go
right.
Put the onus on you.
Exactly.
I'm not the dick.
Nope.
So that was your was it the same when you went to Japan?
You know what? What's funny about Japan is I don't remember.
Drugs.
No, there was no drugs. So the first few days we were in Japan, I want to say I was just kind of in awe of everything, and I was going through a weird time in my life too, because I had just quit a job I'd been working at for 10 years, and like my husband and I were on the outs, and he invited himself along to Japan because it was supposed to be just my brother and I. It was
weird.
It was a really weird time. But so I think there was probably a lot going on in my head at that point. And when I have a lot going on, one thing my mom has said to me, like she went with me on a trip one time when I was like the most depressed I'd ever been. And she said I didn't say a word for like 4 days. Like she said, I just didn't speak, and I'm not aware of it because I'm in my head, so I have no idea how much I'm talking.
I've noticed like when you get like upset, you get quiet.
Yeah, and that's probably me like not wanting to run my mouth off and say the wrong thing and get myself into trouble, because I can do that too.
Sometimes it's kind of like a dam, like if there's one leak, the whole thing's gonna blow.
Yeah, and it comes out way faster than it would have if I just let it, you know, slowly come out. So like with that, I don't remember anyone really giving me weird looks because of my voice. I had silvery purple hair at the time, and I was also very, very white, so a lot of people were staring at me because of that. Had women coming up telling me they loved my hair, and it was really, really fun. I was just going to say, that's the only time I've ever been to another place where I didn't look like anybody else, which was kind of a cool experience.
Right? I think a lot of people, if we're talking about the United States, I'm talking about white people. Going to Japan, it was the first time, and I was there for a year, and it was the first time I, like, experienced being like a minority, really, like a minority, like all day, every day, for a year. And I'm like, I am tired. Fuck.
What were you tired of?
Oh my God, tired of being stared at and just like, you can't blend. You can't.
Like, yeah. Well, we were like,
say weird shit to you. Like,
really?
I love Japan. I love it so much. That's not everybody in Japan by any means.
Yeah.
But, you know, when you're, if you're there for long enough, you just, you know, you experience some crap.
Yeah.
And it wasn't like it wasn't anything like too terrible, but it was like, okay. It's like on top of that, so like you are a minority and you're foreign. And I'm like, God, I like to think that I was pretty, let's say with the evolving language, the kids say now, woke. I like to think that I was pretty woke like before I went there. When I came back, I'm like, whole new level of respect.
Yeah.
Everybody, just appreciate everybody who is not a minority. Just fucking, you got it, lucky man.
Yeah, no, that's a great point. I think, and I mean, because you were there far longer, you, I'm sure, got more immersed in sort of that experience. I was there for like 8 days.
I mean, we got, and we were all in college, so we were fucking loud-ass undergrads, especially the American students. We would get in trouble for being loud.
Oh, jeez.
Like, everyone would hang out, because things are different there, but people are more responsible and, like, chill and respectful, because it's more you think about, like, other people instead of yourself.
Yeah.
Like, there was they got the vending machines everywhere. Like, you go down some little alley in, like, full of abandoned houses, there's a fully stocked, like, lights-on vending machine. There was one, like, right by our dorms by the park, and they have alcohol vending machines there, which is sweet, and you don't need a special card or anything. It just runs on the honor system.
That's awesome.
I'm like, oh, my God, I'd be the drunkest child. He's such a dick. I have to take my liver now. But to be the people just hanging out, like, in this little local community park and, like, getting hammered and, like, all the neighbors. And then, like, on top of that, you know, like, Japanese homes and buildings, like, the walls are not thick. Like, it's not big insulated windows.
Yeah. It's like paper.
Oh, God. People are so loud. And they'd just call the school and be like, I swear to fuck. I mean, but they're really nice in Japanese. They wouldn't say it like that.
Right.
They'd be like, they just keep getting emails and announcements. Like,
please stop being disrespectful.
Everyone needs to stop playing music festival in the park, you drunk garbage people.
Drunk garbage people. That's amazing.
What they acted like.
I was going to say, the second half of my Japan experience is I came down with, like, it was, like, one of those, I'm pretty sure it was, like, on par with pneumonia, because I'd had it, like, really bad for, like, 3 weeks before we left.
And then
I got better, and then I was there for, like, 4 days, and then all of a sudden it all came back again.
Well, yeah, you were pushing it, man.
Yeah, so I didn't.
I don't blame you. I wouldn't fucking miss that trip for pneumonia. I'll be like, I'll die on this plane.
Well, and the thing is, I didn't have pneumonia when I left. I just got it while I was there, or reoccurred when I was there.
Yeah.
And then I literally didn't have a voice the last half, so I couldn't be loud, because I literally had no voice for the last 4 days we were there. And so I guess that worked out for the best. I really was blown away, though, by, like, I tell this story all the time. We were near the Shinjuku station, which is, like, I would always see the videos of the people pushing the crowds into, like, the metros and the Shinjuku station. And we always thought, like, oh, we're going to avoid rush hour. So we went, I think we decided to get on the trains at, like, 9:30 or 10, but that is actual rush hour there. Like, all the businesses open at, like, 11 there. So we ended up getting right into rush hour, which was insane, because we ended up experiencing the whole, like, getting packed into these cars.
Yeah, people think that that's like, oh, it's only special stations sometimes. That happened to me in Osaka.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it was during rush hour, around Christmas. I had actually just been sick, and my German friends convinced me to go out, and I'm like, okay, I'll go out. There's a German Christmas market in downtown Osaka, and they'd gone, like, every night. Like, they were so excited. Like, guess it's a thing they do in Germany every year.
Aww.
Christmas. It's, like, it's just, like, a little, like, outdoorsy festival, and there's crafts and gingerbread things, and and like Glühwein, you know, like the spice mold wine. And there's weird little liquor in bottles. So I went out with them, and they kept telling me, like, because I hadn't been feeling well, and they're like, no, my mom gives me booze when I'm sick. Like, it'll help you. Like, no. You do a shot, and you're fine. Alcohol kills the germs. And I'm just like, God damn it. Like,
Germans.
Germans. So I went, and then I did I did their stupid shot. It tasted so bad. And I had some Glühwein, and then we're on the train on the way back, like, after we had gotten pushed in. And I'm, like, in the middle of the train, and I start to faint. eyes are rolling in the back of my head, my hearing going in and out. And my friend, all my German friends are so tall. She's so much taller than me, and she's, like, grabbing me by my jacket, like, by my collar, going, like, stay with me.
Oh, my God.
And a very nice Japanese woman let me have her little, like, leaning space at the wall. There's, like, no way I was getting a seat, which is fine. But I was just, like, literally starting to go down in the middle of the street.
Oh, my God.
Like, I'm, like, sardines, so, like, that would have been weird.
That, well, and, like, that's the crazy thing is that every stop, we would get more packed in, and I would be like, okay, there's no way, no more people are getting in this car. And then there's another stop, and I was like, yeah, no, oh God, and then you, like, feel yourself getting squished. Mm. And so now you're squished, and you're like, okay, well, now this car is full, and you stop, and they're like, oh God, I'm getting more squished. And then it was insane, because at one point, like, we were all, like, it was me, my brother, and my ex, like, we're all just, like, smashed up against one another, but we're smashed up against strangers, too. Mm-hmm. And there were so many weird factors. Like, if this was literally any other country in the world, it would have been loud, everybody would have smelled bad, somebody would have probably been trying to molest me. Like, there would have been multiple
Japan,
things.
That's still very much a
okay,
factor.
See, that was the thing. At least on the morning train, no one was pulling
but
that
they,
shit.
They don't, from what I learned, they don't, the Chikan, the predators, the perverts, don't tend to go after foreign women because they think you'll make a bigger stink.
Which is true.
Yeah, because they'll be like, oh, no, they'll be loud about it. Literally, they'll be, like, loud about it, because what they tell you to do, if it does happen when you're on a train, is, like, embarrass them. You're supposed to, like, grab their hand and wave it up in the air and call them, like, a fucking pervert.
Ah!
Like, you can't fucking touch me, how are you thinking it? Like, you're supposed to lose it and try to embarrass them. So there's actually, in some places, they have women-only train cars.
Wow. Yeah. The first and only place I've ever seen this, but it makes sense. There were signs at some of the train stations that had a picture of a flip phone, and it said in Japanese, watch out for upskirting.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, oh my God, like, I've never even seen that here, but apparently it's a very common thing over there.
It's like
and I was laughing.
Old mirrors on your shoes.
Exactly. Well, and I, like I said, it didn't surprise me, just because the thing I always find sort of ironic, and I talk about this all the time, and I know it's cultural, I don't really expect an explanation, but yeah, I was in Japan in spring, it was late April, and it was real warm. Like, it was super warm. So I brought all these, like, tank tops. And there was one day where I was wearing, like, a tank top, and I realized, oh my God, I'm the only person in, like, a 400-mile radius that is showing their arms right now. And it completely freaked me out. So finally, I was like, okay, I gotta pull on a coat over top of my tank top and, like, roll up the sleeves or something. And it sucked because I was hot. But I just realized, like, bare arms are not a thing there. And the thing I find ironic about that is the short skirts.
Shortest,
like, just
skirts
the
you've ever seen in
shortest
your life.
Skirts. Like,
yup.
And it's just...
Oh, my God. That blew my mind. That was the first time I'm like... So it's like... So in Japan, it's like, you know, people don't really show their arms. They also don't do cleavage.
Yeah.
Really? Like,
well, they don't really have...
really a thing.
Asian women don't really have the boobs. I mean...
For the most part. But...
Yeah.
It was like... So, like, that sort of thing. But... If you wore something so short here with, like, I'm talking, like, I would see women with black, shiny pleather, thigh-high boots and, like, booty shorts. And nobody looked twice.
Yep.
No one was fazed. And it blew my mind. I'm like, okay. And that's where one of the, I like to wear shorts and tights. That's where I got it from, because everyone would wear like shorts and tights all the time.
I used to wear those all the time when I didn't work for a law firm. And it was funny because we didn't really have a crazy strict dress code, but I remember my boss was the lady. She would, like, I'd walk in shorts and tights, and she would just kind of give me the up down, and then she'd be like, those shorts are really short. And I was like, yeah, but I'm also wearing, like, thick black tights underneath them, so really I'm not showing anything. And she's like, okay. So then I remember when I told her I was quitting to go work.
Shorts in general, like, people, they frown upon them.
Well, yeah, but like I said, we didn't really have, and they were, like, wool. They were, like, nice wool, like, short. They weren't, like,
oh, I love those shorts that you have.
Yeah, like, I have three different pairs of, like, light wool shorts. Because the thing is, I found out, like, I don't know, 5 years ago that, like, there's such a thing as winter shorts that primarily only function well in California, ironically. But, women wear them with tights in the winter around here. Are you still with me?
Yeah.
Okay, sorry. You froze. So then I told her I was working at a law firm, and she was like, they gonna let you wear those short shorts with some tights? And I was like, no, they're not. I'm gonna not wear those. I don't think I've worn them with tights in such a long time. Now I just wear them in shorts. So,
California.
Well, and I mean, even in the summer in Ohio, like, I could wear them in shorts and they were still pretty comfortable. And they were flattering too. But yes, that was the thing. I would walk down the street and watch women walking in these skirts, and I could literally, like, if the skirt flew up a certain way, you could see the bottom of their butt cheeks, and, like, no one seemed to blink. You can see people's ass cheeks underneath their skirts when you're walking down the street in Japan, which I guess now I understand.
That's not a problem, but titties are.
Why perverts are all about Asian culture. So, that and the tentacle porn.
It's a different thing.
Hentai. And all of that. I'm in my closet right now. I'm trying to hang up.
Just ball sticks in the closet.
I'm in the closet. Now I'm in the closet.
And so I pull out my gun.
Yes! I love it so much. I just like, and I whip out my gun! And then everyone screams. I'm like, go to cap this
there
bitch.
You go.
Gonna shoot this bitch in the head. Feet don't come out the closet.
It's an excuse to be loud in the closet. It's
I feel really bad for my neighbors for being such a loud asshole all the time.
Oh.
For various reasons, just for my existence. But also when I'm mad, when I stub my toe, or when I'm fornicating. It is generally very audible, so I don't know. Maybe they like that. Maybe they're into that sort of thing, and then I don't feel so bad.
Yeah.
Can make it up to them for all the other times I'm loud.
Those are appropriate times to be loud.
Yeah, yeah. So that said, I am a loud person who is loud, and I will probably always be loud. We need to end this episode now. We need to call an audible. Ironically, audible, loud, because this is going to hell in a handbasket, and I've got to edit the fuck out of this so that we can release this podcast in, like, 8 hours. So
you're loud, and we love you.
Thank you.
And I hope we have many more seasons of being loud together.
Me too! Woo, loud! Thank you for listening.
Difficulties make me loud!
Fucking fuck, late. Thank you, everyone, for listening this last season and for voting for us as a popular podcast in the Cleveland, Ohio area. Thank you to OK Pants for doing our logo. Thank you to Above Below Entertainment for being our network. Thank you for just, in general, sticking with this podcast, even though I moved 2,500 miles away. I give full, extended, and complete credit to Elizabeth and Gigi for being very, very compelling people and also loyal to sit on their microphones at 11 o'clock at night and talk to me about nonsense while I sit in my closet and yell. So not everybody can do that, and I give all honor and glory to them. We're going to line up our guests for season 4. We're going to take a little break for the summer so that we can all go live our lives and do cool things in the sun. And Liz, do you have any social media or anything you want to promote?
Nope, not really.
Sweet. Good to know.
I can't wait to hear half of those nice things that you said.
Yeah, that's what's great about this. Will be a surprise episode because we're cutting out half the shit that we're saying due to the internet dying on us slowly. So it'll be nice. She can hear the sweet, horrible sounds of me yelling compliments into my microphone.
Get out. Can't wait.
Frantically. And you can check me out at Epic Fall on Instagram, EPICFAUL on Instagram and Twitter. You can also check out SX1 Entertainment on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. And I believe our next showcase is going to be on June 16th at 8 p.m. at Skidmark Garage in Cleveland, Ohio. So check that out. And... Kay, love you. Bye.
Bye. Don't turn around, don't